Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. Hopefully those who were at the ice cream social last night didn't eat too much ice cream. So. We had a good time. Does anybody have any announcements this morning? No? Okay, then I call you to worship with these words. God is always there when disasters strike. Christ is always with us when enemies surround us. The Spirit is always there to sustain us when life is hard. Come, let us worship the God of our salvation. Can we bow for prayer, please? Loving God, we come before you today seeking your blessings and your protection from the temptations of sin. Heal us with your love so that we may love one another. Show us the truth we have found in Jesus. Give us courage so that we may seize the opportunities you give us. Strengthen our will to spread your word and remind us that your guidance is always present through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn to your green Sing the Journey book that I hope everybody picked up out there? And let's sing hymn number 43, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. And would you stand, please?
Thank you.
The page number is wrong in the bulletin. It's page for the, sorry, I'm a little hoarse here. It's page 66 in your pew Bibles. There's two editions of the pew Bibles around the church, and the wrong one was picked. So. Exodus 34, verses 29 to 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Let's bow for the offering prayer. Lord God, your goodness and generosity are limitless and eternal. We bring to you our gifts as our thanks for that generosity. We know that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Therefore, may our giving be a sign of this blessing for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our second scripture this morning is from 2 Corinthians 3, right? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 3, 12 to 18. Sorry, I lost my place. And that is found on page 818, not what it says in the bulletin, if you want to follow along. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would pull a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflected the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Good morning. First of all, may I just say that was an epic ice cream social last night. It was so much fun to see all of you, so many families together, just enjoying each other and eating tons of homemade ice cream. And I would not have been surprised if I came in this morning and saw people still downstairs playing Crokinole Dutch Blitz and Throw Burrito. It was a lot of fun. Thank you. So I missed all of you last week, but what a beautiful service you had talking about feeding the hungry in our region. It's great to be back, but not being here with you in the flesh last week made me think about how much we miss all of you there at home. We love you, and whether you're in Florida, Maine, California, Kutztown, Macungie, Virginia, Canada, Emmaus, even here in Zionsville, wherever you are part of our church family. And we pray that whatever separates us will be no more, and that we can continually become a stronger, more united church on God's mission. Amen. So as a young person, I had loads of questions about God. Did God exist? Does God care? Is God a personal God? Is he a he? Does he have white hair and a beard? Is God, bless you, is God up there? Is God angry and wrathful? Am I supposed to fear God? And if so, how am I supposed to have a loving relationship with God? Why did God create everything? And does God control everything? Why have these different realms? I mean, if God is a personal God, why can't we walk together in the Garden of Eden right now? Why this painful separation from our Creator? If God made us good, why are we so bad so often? Why didn't God make us better? And how does Jesus' death save us? Is Jesus really God's son? And if so, why would God need him to die? And if God doesn't like violence, why is there so much of it? And why does it seem like God condoned and maybe even called for bloodshed in the Old Testament? Why are we called to be warriors in the spiritual realm? Why is there a battle going on in other realms? Was Jesus a real person? How can we know about Jesus other than what we're told in the Bible? And is the Bible true? If God wants to be known, why is God so complicated and mysterious? If God wants us to believe and obey, why not make the way more obvious? Why is the kingdom building business so darn slow? Why do we have to struggle so much? I mean, why is life so painful? Why is there so much suffering? Why is Earth's Satan's domain? Because I don't want him here. And what about heaven? Is it a place? Will everyone get there? Is it our final destination? And how about hell? Is it real? Why would a loyal, slow to anger, loving, compassionate God create hell? Is earth purgatory? Are we being refined right now? My questions went on and on and on. You can just imagine. Some of you might have had the same questions at some point, might still do. And it wasn't as if I just asked these questions in my head. I mean, I asked all sorts of people. Monks, pastors, nuns, monsignors, older people, even toddlers. And I got no definitive answers, especially from the pastors. I read the Bible, which sometimes complicated matters. I listened to learned people, and that helped. When I was enveloped in a church, discerning with a priesthood of believers, that was even better. But if I knew then what I know now, I would have started with Hebrews and 1 John, because through those sacred writings, so many other things fall into place. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that Jesus is the exact imprint of God. And 1 John 4 tells us that God is love. God is love, right? So if we want to know more about God and love, we just have to look at Jesus. And yes, Jesus was a real person. In the past few weeks during the season of Epiphany, we've journeyed with Jesus from his birth to his baptism to his teaching, discipling, exorcisms, healings, and in this liturgical season, his marching on toward the cross. These accounts about Jesus give us a clue about God's heart, mind, and ways. Because how Jesus was is how God is. I'll say that again. How Jesus was is how God is. That is the Epiphany, which is a time of unveiling and exploring, of witnessing and seeing, of knowing and loving God more and more. And while we may have clarity on some things, most of us probably still have a lot of questions about God. But rest assured, seeking leads to saving. Henry Nouwen puts it this way: Jesus breaks right through human logic. He's not interested. He is moving the whole reality to the kingdom. And this is how he does it, according to the Gospels. So as I'm reading, remind yourself that Jesus is God. And this is how God is, and how we're supposed to be as God's imagers. Our Jesus-y God disciples people who don't fully understand him, but want to. He tells people to follow him, God knows where. He defends the weak, eats and drinks with his friends often, would have loved our ice cream social, does the impossible, brings back the dead, prays alone with God and prays in public with people, doesn't worry and rests even in storms, teaches truth with a big T, doesn't answer stupid questions, challenges foolish assumptions, isn't afraid of those in power, isn't afraid of anything, especially Satan. Respects and adores women, and places them at pivotal parts of God's story. Has best friends and a trusted circle. resists temptations, accepts the aid of angels, rebukes demons and puts them in their place, attributes sickness to demons and evil, confidently commands health and wholeness. He inspires people to get up, touch him, follow him, drop down, and ask for help. He reconciles outsiders to their communities. He gives lavish gifts, including his own spirit, which, by the way, is grammatically feminine in Hebrew, but as the third person of the Trinity, has no gender. Jesus loves deep conversations and engages difficult people. He uses numerous teaching techniques, including questioning, preaching, and stories. Isn't afraid to get his hands dirty and washes the filthy feet of people who don't deserve it. He's deeply compassionate and cries with his loved ones when they're hurting. He's playful. I mean, what is more fun than walking on water? He's sometimes snarky and dramatic to make a point. He is loyal, fearless, and wise. He loves children, thinks differently than we usually do. He stays on the outskirts of divisive politics and government systems, but also challenges those in charge and lifts up the oppressed. He is a pacifist and scolds his friends for being violent. He won't fight back physically, even when he's being attacked. He walks everywhere, including dicey locations, and usually with a community. He loves the beach. Hi, Sharon. Jesus has a mother's heart and compares himself to a hen gathering her brood under her wings. He hangs out with broken people and came from an imperfect family line. He kills naughty, fruitless fig trees, but also loves the idea of small seeds and big vines. He doesn't mention the things he's not overly concerned about, but he patiently repeats the things he is concerned about. Jesus is the best, most ever-present friend ever. He forgives us for our disloyalty and lets people go when they won't be convinced. He invites everyone to the table. He has a plan, implements the plan, and calls us into helping to carry out that plan. He grieves and is obedient even unto death. He fixes everything through self-sacrificial love. Invites criminals into paradise. Blesses his murderers. Allows himself to be whipped, pierced, hung, and dead. Disappears for 3 days and does some wild Atticus Finch, Malala the Incredibles, Harriet Tubman thing in the underworld to triumph over the evil ones. He reappears, breathes on us, commissions us, rises, loves, and saves us. Praise God. This is our Jesus, ye God, who is worth following, worth imaging, and worth adoring. Henry Nouwen, in his book Following Jesus, speaks of the process of seeking God and how over time that results in God being our home. In other words, questioning and exploring and listening and imaging makes God someone who is not up there or over there, but right here, right now. And this is what happens when we follow our Jesus-y God. Suddenly, our life has meaning. Our restlessness stops. We find it easier to love. We move through life with a little more ease. We attract wonderful people and call them family. We appreciate things more, and we don't know all the answers. And we don't avoid suffering, but we don't care because we're so in love. Our Jesus-y God has been revealing God's self since creation just to be in relationship with us. And despite the need for certain temporary separations, There was no way God was going to live without us. I mean, God tore the heavens apart to be with us. God incarnated to be with us. God put the Holy Spirit in us to be with us. And that is the epiphany, that God loves us so much and cares so deeply about us that God has removed every barrier to have a direct and personal relationship with us. Our Jesus, God, never forsakes us, no matter what. And wouldn't we do the same for our children and those we love? I mean, look at what we're doing now in the middle of a pandemic to preserve the ability to be with each other. From Zoom to social media and in other ways, we have reordered life as we know it to deal with the reality that we're in, but we never give up on being together. This is what the entire Bible is about how our Jesus-y God continues to appear, accompany, and recreate just to be with us and to pull us closer together. Exodus 34 tells us that whenever Moses went into the Lord's presence to speak with God, Moses would take his veil off to talk with God, to know God. Moses had to see God. But then Moses would return to his people, holier and wiser. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 that whenever someone turns to God, which is the act of repentance, turning to God, the veil is removed. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Lord's Spirit is, there is freedom. All of us together are looking with unveiled faces at the glory of the Lord as if we were looking into a mirror. We are being transformed together into that same image from one degree of glory to another. Struggling to understand who God is together is okay. It's more than okay. It's what brings us home. It's transformative. Seeking and imaging leads to saving. And the next season in the liturgical calendar, Lent, calls us to follow and imitate Jesus, beginning with fasting. Because imitation also leads to saving. Lent prepares us to empty ourselves, to die of ourselves enough to let God in. And then get busy with kingdom building, just like Jesus did. And we repeat this cycle every year as we grow and learn and build the kingdom. God incarnated as Jesus. Now it's our turn to remove any barriers that separate us from God, to make sure that we make room for God amidst all the distractions and the idols of the day. From news to politics to gobs of material stuff, social media, technology, over-imbibing and food and drink, negativity, past pessimism, and more. That all has to go by the wayside. Because we are in relationship with God and each other that is mutual, and it transcends distance. And these relationships take time, risk, sacrifice, and effort. So get ready, because after this season of Epiphany, of lifting the veil to see who Jesus-y God is, we will be invited to spend 40 days focusing on our habits of faith. From prayer to quiet contemplation, joyful singing, doing small things with great love, reading God's word, glorifying God even in vacuuming, doing dishes, baling hay, plowing fields, chopping wood, knitting, and gardening. Seeking God, asking questions, showing curiosity, lifting our veils, making room for God and each other, being the face of God to one another and to our neighbors. This is our way home. Our Jesus-y God story is our story, and the ending is perfect. Amen. Let's share our joys and concerns. What's up? hymn. Let's sing our hymn first. Okay. Hymn
number. Forgot one. I don't want to
okay.
Another one.
Hymn number 567.
What?
567.
592.
Oh,
567
sorry.
Is the one I forgot.
Oh, okay. 592. Thank you.
Let's stand, please.
Stand. Jesus, thank you in advance for hearing our prayers and for the love, healing, care, protection, and blessings that you have brought. We pray also as you call us to for our enemies, for the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed, for the children and youth in our region, for the sick, for our earth and all its creatures, for the leaders of our institutions, for workers of all kinds, for this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and pets. Jesus, we love you so much and are so thankful you've shown us who God is through you. And now we pray as you taught us to, Jesus. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for our blessing. This week, lift the veil and fix your eyes on our Jesus-y God, because in that gaze, you will find love and freedom. Amen. Hymn number 420.